Our text is found in the psalm which we read, Psalm 52. And we shall read again at verse 8. Psalm 52 at verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. This is one of the Psalms, and there are not that many, where we have a considerable explanation of the background to it, the context of it, in the title. And what we understand is that the occasion of this psalm was when David was an exile from Jerusalem. And the reason for that was he had fled from King Saul. David went first to Achish, king of Gath, and then he went to Adullam, the cave Adullam, which was in the territory of Judah. And then he went to Mizpeh, and this Mizpeh was in Moab. Now David had not by any means lost confidence in God. He was taking what appeared to him to be necessary action because his life was in danger. He was sure of this, that despite his present difficulties, and to have Saul so ill-disposed toward him and threatening toward him was a great difficulty for David. Despite this, he was confident that God would preserve him and that God would restore him to his place there in Jerusalem and in the fellowship of God's people in Jerusalem. That is David's heart. That is his longing, to be at the place of worship, to gather there with those of like precious faith. And surely that is our desire too. We look for nothing greater or better in this life as believers than to be coming before the Lord, engaging in his praise, hearing his word, and pouring out our hearts unto him in prayer. This is our communion with God. This is how we are enriched in our souls. This is how we get strength and how we're able to serve the Lord. And this is the way in which the Lord leads his people in preparing them for heaven. David knew that back in Jerusalem, and there he would prosper once again, just like the olive tree. And of course this tree was very familiar to the Jews, as to any people in the Middle East. There this tree is found, and there this tree is greatly valued for its fruit. The question then from the text is this: how may the believer be compared to an olive tree? Indeed, a green olive tree. And with the Lord's help, briefly, we shall seek to consider that question. And there are three things for us to note concerning David as an example of a believing man, and the comparison that is made with the olive tree. Firstly, to note the planting. Any tree has to be planted. Any fruit tree, if it is to grow and to be fruitful, it must be planted properly, in the right location, in the right way. It begins there. If that's not the beginning, a right planting of the tree, then very likely it will wither and it will die. And how do we understand that spiritually? Well, we understand it in this way, and we have scripture to guide us. Believers must be planted by God. If they're not, whatever faith they have or claim to have is not saving faith. This planting, this establishing of the believer, this is of the grace of God and of the work of the Holy Spirit. We read in Isaiah, chapter 60, verse 3, of believers as trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Well, God is glorified in the planting of his people, ultimately, because they do bear fruit, and all to his praise and honor. Now, there may be many within the visible church, and people might call them Christians, they might call themselves Christians, and yet, where is the evidence that the Lord has done a work in their soul? They go on year after year, and there's no apparent change. There's no visible growth. There's no advance in terms of their character, their walk. And we say with regard to ourselves, if there is progress, we trust there is, it is limited, and in many respects we are not what we really ought to be as professing Christians. That very concern and the willingness to acknowledge that is perhaps an evidence of real grace in the soul. Pride does not have that place in our lives. Pride in self, boasting in self, that it once did. How does God plant his people? It is the work, as we've said, of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings the seed in their heart to life. The seed is the good word of God, the word of the truth of the gospel, and it's sown by those who minister it. It's broadcast by them. It goes out from their mouths. But if that is all that happens, you will not have a believer. Not in the biblical sense. There'll be no conversion. There'll be no new life. But when the Spirit is pleased to work, that seed of truth is brought to life in the heart, in the soul. The regenerating work of the Spirit of God. And you cannot see regeneration in terms of the moment when it occurs. Even the one who is regenerated cannot see it there and then. But it is known by what then follows. By conversion. By faith toward God. By true repentance. When life enters the soul, it is like a root going down There's the tree. It's been planted. It's got a root, but the root must go down. The root must become larger, more expansive, and only when that root is firmly in the ground is the goodness available to that tree, taken up by the root, to be seen then in the way the tree prospers. The believer is rooted in Christ Jesus. He is the one from whom we receive all good. That is true in terms of outward good, temporal prosperity, but it is altogether true with regard to any good in the soul. Christ Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. There are so many of these illustrations taken from the natural world, the living world, in the Word of God. And that root, going down into Christ, the believer feeding upon the Saviour, getting good from the Saviour, that's one we should seek to cultivate. And we do that by making the proper use of the means of grace. Do we love our Bible? Is it our study all the day? And more than just reading it, do we really endeavor to have it stored up in our hearts and minds? And that really is the way to get the best out of the Word of God. To have it dwelling in you. To have it speaking to you, not just at the moment you read it or hear it preached, but thereafter, because it is something you think upon. And you ask questions of the Word. And you seek to know the application of the Word. And God will continue to bless it to you, even long after you heard it. We remember these words of Christ concerning those who would profess faith, claim to have faith. It was a warning. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted, shall be rooted up. And you know, if there is some tree, and its root is not deep but shallow, you know that if a storm comes, and the wind rages against that tree very likely will succumb. It will be overcome by the gale, the force of it. And that tree will come crashing to the ground. And when it does, you see the problem. The root is exposed. And the root is so poor. It is so weak. It could not hold on when the storm came. Very often, those who have a notion or faith are revealed in time, in some crisis, by some trial, when persecution comes against the church, these fair weather believers, or they are revealed, and it is evident that their faith was not saving faith, and they were not rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, although they bore the name Christian. Friends, there will also be a rooting up at the last day, when Christ judges all mankind. And when there are many there, and they're saying, Lord, Lord, We did this and that for you. Christ will be saying, I never knew you. Your works were not for me, and they are not acceptable to me. They were for your glory, and such works I do not require. Rooted up, exposed, revealed, and having by that exposure shame and unable to counter Christ's judgment made upon them. We need to be grounded in the grace of God. And if we are, then we shall never, ever be plucked up. And the life we have here, the temporal aspect of it will come to an end, but the spiritual will continue. The Lord has given eternal life, and that life shall blossom and come to its full fruition in glory. How thankful we should be here that God is the great husband. He's the one who takes care of the trees he himself has planted. But not only the planting, secondly, the flourishing. And as the text tells us, the olive tree is one of the number of trees or the plants that is referred to as evergreen. I am like a green olive tree, an evergreen tree. It keeps its leaf in every season. And the spiritual equivalent is this. The Christian, planted by the Lord, rooted in Christ, flourishing by divine grace. So that whatever the circumstances of the Christian, however tried he might be, buffeted, and at times feeling almost as though he is defeated, certain things remain true, and ever shall. There's repentance toward God. There is indeed faith, trust, confidence in Christ. There is a continuance in the Word, in prayer, and in praise. To be an evergreen Christian is something we should indeed seek to be. It's a great witness when a believer is going through a difficult period, when there are sadnesses there, when there have been disappointments and adversities, yet that Christian is really the same Christian you knew when everything was going so well. There's still a love to Christ and a willing confession of that and actions that go with it. There's still the ability to praise the Lord. There's still a determination to be faithful to one's vows made to the Lord. Another thing concerning the olive tree is that it grows on the hill as well as on the plain. The Mount of Olives that we know of from Scripture. We cannot ourselves say from knowledge the height of that mountain, not a great mountain, we understand, but evidence that the olive tree may grow in more difficult places. And not every plant or tree does that. Well, the believer grows and continues to grow even when his lot, his portion, is not perhaps what he or she would desire. Believers have varied experience. Their providence differs one to another. But the Lord is wise in what he does with his own. Where he places them in this world, the situation they are found in, their family circle, everything is planned by the Lord. And it is all designed, intended, so that the Lord will make of that believer something, someone for his glory and his praise. And when you're in difficulty, when you have many afflictions to bear, and yet you do not complain against the Lord, but you humble yourself, you're submissive to his dealings, and when you still flourish, and perhaps flourish even more than you would if everything was easy, well, does not God get a great return there from that believer? He is glorified, and a witness is born to the world. And often the world will say, well, these Christians, they're only Christians because it's easy for them, because life is straightforward for them. If there was any difficulty, any hardship, you watch. They'll go back. They won't continue. But they will, by God's grace. Job did. That was Satan's way of speaking of Job. Doth God serve God for naught? He's only worshipping God because of what he gets out of worshipping God. Well, no. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That is how it should be with every believer. When our lot is difficult, the calling we have is the same. Sanctification, to grow in grace and in the knowledge and likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The sun of righteousness remains in the believer's sky, even when there may be dark times, a darkness entering into the soul because of some great affliction, some tragedy. The Son of Righteousness has risen upon the believer, never to set. The oil from the olive tree, from the crushing of its fruit, is said to be excellent, better than many other oil that might be used by man for these purposes to do with foods and so on, an excellent oil. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the heavenly anointing. We have the grace of God. that produces fruit in our lives. And if the fruit of the Spirit is abounding in us, then we may indeed be like the believers in Philippi, filled with the fruits of righteousness. And would that not be to the praise of our God? And would that not make us to be of greater usefulness to our Lord Jesus Christ in his church and bearing witness to the world outside? Planting, flourishing, and then abiding. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. If you look up information regarding the olive tree, and I had some sense of this, it is a tree that lives for a long time. And it is said that on average, the olive tree will live for 500 years. And the claim is that some olive trees live longer than that, and records suggest as much as 3 times longer than that. I did read a claim once that the olive trees on the Mount of Olives today, some of them might have been there at the time of Christ. Who can say? But the tree lives for a long time. We find that David's trust was in nothing else but God's mercy. God's mercy is both abundant and enduring. The mercy of God endureth forever. The goodness of God endureth continually, as we read in the first verse of our psalm. That is why the believer has confidence. We know our sin. We know how prone we are to temptation. We look back upon many failures, how often we've stumbled and even fallen. But because of this mercy of God, David trusted in it, and so should we. Because of this mercy of God, the believer may defy his foes, as it were. When he falls, he shall arise. God will see to it. And the believer may be looking forward. That should always be our attitude as Christians. There is a purpose in looking back sometimes. But looking forward, we're reaching forward, are we not? We're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we look forward with a realistic hope. Let us say a sure and certain hope of eternal life. But before we depart this world, we may have a realistic hope of better days to come, spiritually, for ourselves, and indeed for the church. We are called to pray, to humble ourselves and pray. And we have a great promise regarding that the Lord will hear, especially when his people collectively pray, and he will visit their land and heal their land. We certainly need that. And it seems that the olive trees in our land today, true believers, praying men and women, are not as many as they were in former generations. But no matter, that is of the Lord. If we are praying people, and if we get more of the spirit of grace and of supplications, if we are pleading at the throne of grace, then we may expect that God in his time will grant to answer the burden of our request, that he would return and visit this vine and revive his work. Trusting in God and his mercy. In Psalm 61 and verse 4, David says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Place of worship, place of safety, place of fellowship, the place where the believer flourishes to the glory of God. All to be near him and enjoying fellowship with him. And this is surely the way to be enjoying everlasting safety, security, and true and abundant prosperity. A green olive tree. And may the Lord be making us more and more just like that in the spiritual sense for his praise. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we ask for grace that we would flourish in the courts of thy house, meeting with thee, and grace at work in us, refined in terms of holiness and likeness to our Redeemer, and bringing forth, by the work of the Spirit, fruit, abundant fruit, to thy praise. Build us up. Strengthen us in every grace and keep us from the wicked one, and may we find that we are getting the victory as we go on trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take away our sin for his sake. Amen.